Welcome you all on live stream who are tuned in. I'm speaking with my brother up here. I told him I had a grand introduction for him. Not really. But he asked if I could go on for an hour, and I said, well, I don't think I can do that. But I know that, you know, he spoke, though, also that, you know, when you're humble, that God will help you. And I know that our brother has always been humble every time that I've seen him. So I know that God will help him, give him the words to speak this day. So I give you our brother, Jose.
Good morning to all of you. I'd like to welcome to each of you to the house of the Lord this day. I can say I'm happy to be here, but at the same time, I'm nervous. And I don't think I will ever get rid of that because I'm a nervous person. And I asked one of my brothers, or almost to all of them, how do you guys work through that? And they're like, we don't. If you're not nervous, you might be kind of weird. We all get nervous here, so that kind of comforts me. And I know there is, my fourth time that I stand before you. And I know the Word of God has so much to teach us, and it's too much to learn, and not enough time to learn it. As we are young and still hard workers trying to provide for the family, it's hard to find time to pick up our scriptures. And it's not that it's... we have so much to do, but the time just goes so fast, and I'm pretty sure you know what I mean. But it will be a time that I have comforted that when that time comes, I hope and pray that I'll be able to dedicate more of my life to God. I have told many others in my workplace that I have a new boss. And they're like, who is it? Oh, it's God. I work for him now too. I don't do just yards, or I don't provide my customer service to my clients, but I also serve God. I have been hired by him to come and stand before you. And it's not an easy thing to do. What do we gather here together to every Sunday? I believe that we are here to remind ourselves what God wants of us and what God has promised us and what God wants us not to do. That's why we are here, to remember and to follow those commandments that he has given us, that we may prosper in our life. Because we all know that this world is just full of temptations, and I might repeat myself over and over, but that's how it is, and that's how I see it. I really love the sermon that my brother, I forgot your name, from Honduras. Johnny? Ronnie. I confused Johnny and Ronnie, so sorry. I have a short-term memory. But I really enjoy that sermon, hermano, and I pray that someday I'll be able to express myself just like you there that day. We are beginning a new year, and we have worries, yes. Yes, we do. But let's not forget that God has promised us that he will not leave us alone. He will be right next to your side. We do have all kinds of worries, financial worries, sicknesses, worries. But, you know, how do we know what the present is holding us for us? If we knew, it would be easy for us to deal with this life, but we don't. We don't know what's ahead of us. We cannot prepare for what's ahead of us. But God says, you know, if you hear my voice, you'll be okay. You know, I will warn you of the things that are ahead of you, they are in front of you. Sometimes in my craziness talk, I said, oh, it would be pretty cool if we can go back in time or you know, to the future or things like that. But Rebecca, my wife, is like, no, you don't want to do that. I think God has put us in the right time, in the right place. He has made us just perfect, the way we are, the way we look. I don't think we need to change anything because God is in control of every single one of us. But these days, you know, the men have so much acknowledged, they try to change those things that God has already done. He is our architect. He's a very good architect. But men these days, they're not happy with what they have. They're not happy with the way they look. And they have found out how to change those things, and they go against God's law. It's not true. I mean, I see it a lot. Sometimes people kind of approaching me, and they're like, hey, you don't look too happy. What do you want me to do? You want me to be laughing like or do something with my face? This is how God made me. I do laugh. but, you know, the joy we have is in our hearts. It's in our hearts. He does, you know. He says we need to be like the salt. You know, we need to be like the light that is not hidden. He says, by your works, they may know who you are. And they do. They do. They know who you are because you act different. You know, we just celebrate the joining of this young couple, Brother Nathan and Natasha, yesterday. And that was really something. That was really good. Seeing that they are following the commandments of God and not the commandments of man. You had to live together first to get to know each other and to make sure that she's the one or he's the one. That's not how God wants it. That's how we want it. Oh, she's not the one. I'm going to get another one. They have made the promises in front of us. So they have a lot of witnesses. And there's no way back. What is done has been done. What God puts together, no man can separate it. Except that. And there is something, that is something that we all need to look at. It. And apparently, you know, they grew up in the church. They were born in the church. I wasn't. So they have seen really good examples. But we all mess up sometimes. We are humans. You know, Paul said, as long as I'm in this flesh, as long as I'm in this body, I'm gonna do things that I don't wanna do. Christ told the disciples they took to the mountain when the transfiguration was. When he was praying, when he was getting ready to, when he knew that the time was coming, he told them, you know, pray because you might fall in temptation. The spirit is willing, but your flesh is gonna fail. And that's why he remind us not to trust in the arm of men. We're supposed to trust in him. He is in control. Let's turn to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 10, 13. First Corinthians 10, 13, I believe, I hope I... Let's see what I'm going to find here. Thirteen says, "There hath no temptations taken you, but such as common to men. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." God is in control. And he knows what we can handle. He only gives us what we can handle. These books are full of information. But like I said in my beginning, there's so much to learn. But the gospel of Christ is not too hard to learn it. Before he was taken to heaven, in the book of Luke, I believe, he says, "I send you to teach repentance of their sins, to teach repentance for their salvation." That's why he has chosen us, to remind you of those things. As we're standing here talking to you, sometimes it can be offended. But like I said, we are here to be reminder about what pleased to God. You know, sometimes as we're driving to church, I live like 15 miles or something like that from here. We start in some kind of conversation and it end to be a little bit aggressive. And I'm sure it happens to all of us. In my mind, I try to stay in control and not to talk back, because we go into the house of the Lord and I want to be in the right spirit. And that's why we are here today, to hear his word. And we will apply it to our lives if we are in the right spirit. We have to be in the right spirit to understand what he's trying to tell us. Because it's not just me talking. It's his word. And that's why it says that his word is like a sword that will penetrate to you. He didn't come to bring peace. His word was not going to be peaceful. When you accept Christ in your life, you're going to have problems. You're going to run into troubles, starting with your family. You know, the way you believe. When we've been believing all this time and what our parents teach us to believe. But once you pick up the Bible or the Book of Mormon, your eyes are open. And you start learning and understanding that what we believed before is not the truth, and that's not what God wants of us. We're going to go to Isaiah 55. We're going to Isaiah 55. We're going to start with verse 1 and work it out all the way to 11. Ho, everyone that is thirsty, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye and buy and eat. Yea, come and buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore, do you spend money for that which is not bread, and you labor for that which satisfy not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your souls delight in the soul and fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your souls shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Come and eat, come and buy of the waters that he offers you without money. That is the gospel that we have today, brothers and sisters. That you can come and hear it. And you don't have to spend any money for come and sit down here. Like many other churches these days, they do that. But the gospel of Christ, it is free. It is free to all of those who are thirst. Come and buy without money. And stop spending your money on things that don't satisfy you. They might satisfy you for a little while, but then you'll be thirsty again. I'm talking about the things of this world, what this world offers you. You know, Brother Adam, in his last sermon, he mentioned a lot about, you know, how people today focus more on the things of this world. He did a marriage, and he was concerned about them because most of the problems they as a marriage couple run into is financial. And he was concerned about that and told them, you know, I really encourage you guys to take a class, a financial class. And learn about how to hand out money. Oh, handle money, not hand out. You can hand it to me. But we have that problem in our midst. That we look for things that you think, that you believe, that's what you need. And then later, a couple of days later, a week later, I don't know, whatever that is, it's just sitting in the garage. You're just collecting stuff. You just buying trophies. You're just buying idols. I mean, I like hobbies, but slowly, I've been cleaning my garage. I've been giving them away because I don't need them. They don't bring happiness. They don't bring happiness to me anymore. So that's what he said right here, you know, don't spend your money on things that you don't need. Come and be part of me. We have to listen to God. He says, incline your ear and come into me and hear, and your souls shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you. If you accept him in your life, if you make that commandment to follow him and open your heart to him, he will be with you. That's the covenant he makes with you. And that's the covenant that he has made with me. Because as you know, I was not born in this church. It's been about 15 years, I believe, that I come into this church. And that's one of the best blessings that I have received in my life. Because I'm not alone. I have all of you. And I know that we are like a family. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. We look up to each other. We look out for each other. And that is why we are here, to remind you who you are. You are my brother. We are sons and daughters of God. We're not alone. And we were never alone. We were never alone. Because we had three really important personages in our life. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit is always with you. So you're not alone. There's three of them surrounding you with love and peace. Brother Ronnie mentioned that some scripture in 2 Kings, I believe, of Elijah being enclosed in this little place, and there was only two of them, and they were surrounded by these soldiers. And he's like, don't worry. Don't worry. We're not alone. But in our human minds, we are alone. He's like, we are alone. And somehow God removed the veil of his face, and he was able to see legions of angels surrounding them. What happened the next morning? He realized that he was not alone. They were not alone. And that's how we are today. And that's all the promises that we have. And that's why we are here to acknowledge that he is in control. In Isaiah 55:5, behold, thou shalt call in nations that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run into thee because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. We have work to do, brothers and sisters. We have work to do. It's not just the minister. It's each of us. Every opportunity that we have to witness God to those that did not know him, because there's so many, take that opportunity. Take that opportunity, because for that, God has called us, to each of us, to be ambassadors of him, to witness him wherever we go. Our brother Adam is traveling right now. I don't know how he is, being his first time. We ask to pray for him. He speak to me a lot about that when we were driving up to the Nathan's men's retreat. And I can see he was worried, but I told him, I pray for you, brother. And he's like, thank you, Jose. Thank you. And I know it's kind of scary. I don't get scared to go to Mexico. It's my country. Even there's so much crime going on. But I have the promises in me that he lives in me. Isaiah 55:6. It says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteousness man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Like I said, we're always trying to sacrifice ourselves, trying to do things for our own without calling upon him. We need to bring everything to him. And even if we mess up here and there in our humanist thoughts or whatever, he always has abundantly pardon for each of us, abundantly love for each of us. Don't be discouraged if you do something wrong. You know, as you're driving on the freeway, your mind might be in something else, but then you see this huge, gigantic billboard or whatever those things are. They're almost like a flat screen TV. And there's, you see something there that you don't agree with it. Something that maybe you don't want to see it. You don't want to see that day. And it has scarred you, your brain. And there your thoughts going all over the place. But we have a Father who forgive us if you come to him with your heart and contrite spirit. He's always willing to listen from you. It has to come from you. It has to come from you. Isaiah 55a, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and return not hither but watereth the earth, and make it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, and it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which is pleased, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Like I said, we only know so much. We can only do so much. Because God's thoughts are higher than ours, God's ways are higher than our ways. But you know what's good and evil. You know, one time, Brother Jay asked me, how do you come into the church? In my human thoughts, I was like, well, I come in through the door. I open the door, come in, and sit down. That's what would you think, right? I mean, no, that's not how you come into the church. What is the door to the church? It's baptism. Baptism is the door to the church. And that's not saved. That is not means that you're saved. And 2 Nephi, I believe it's 12, and his brother Ken's favorite scripture. It's a long way ahead of us. And we're going to run into all kinds of obstacles that they're going to want us to go some other way. A lot of our fellow members, quite a few of them, they have gone before us. They have finished the race where we are. They have finished it. And we know where we are, where they are. And that is our goal. That's where we are going to end if we follow God's commandments. If we follow, if we not follow the things that this world offers you. It's not easy. It's not easy. Are you ready to take your cross every day for Christ? Are you ready to be mocked by the finger from the people of this world because you are Christian and you are weird? Because the way you act, because you don't cast, because you don't say bad words, because you don't participate going to bars. You know, we are right in the middle, and all of them are looking at you, just waiting for you to mess up. That's what this world is doing. But if you stand up, and be in control, knowing that you're not alone, you will endure to the end. Let's not forget that God has blessed us every day. You can look around you and see what you have and see what other people don't have. We are greatly blessed, greatly. Seek the Lord. Seek to Him and inquire of Him as you guide. Ask what you want Him to do for you in your life. Seek for Him and inquire Him for your portions and happiness, to reconcile, be reconciled in Him. Finding Him, make Christ your way in the Spirit. Make Him your guide in your life. Call upon Him every day, and He will show you the things. Another example we have, the woman that's from Samaria. We're going to go to John 4. John 4, we're going to start at verse 7. And I don't know where I'm going to go with this, but we're going to start in verse 7. There came a woman. This is Christ coming from Samaria, coming from Judea to Galilee. And I don't know that area, but he was going to Samaria for whatever reason. I guess he didn't have to go through there, but he decided. And then in 7 it says, there came a woman of Samaria to draw water. She said to her, give me to drink. Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it thou, being Jew, askest drink of me, which I am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealing with the Samaritans. Why they didn't get along? Why didn't, they hate each other? Because the Samaritans worship idols? Or because at some point in life they built a temple and they say that Moses encouraged them to do that? We know that they believe, I don't know by now, but they used to believe in the five books of Moses. And another comment that I read, it was a place for people that people that break the law, they used to go into that place and be in there. So she could be one of them. So I don't know. I really don't know. We're going to continue on 10. Jesus answered and saying to her, if thou knowest the gift of God, and who is that I say to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he will have given thee the living water. And the woman saying to him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou the living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us this the well, and drank therefore himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and saying to her, Whosoever drink of this water should thirst again. Whosoever buy all these things of this world shall be thirst again. There's no happiness. The water that Christ is offering her, she is not understanding, just like any of us will not understanding. She doesn't see that he has a thing to draw the water out from the wall. He doesn't have anything like that. So where are you going to get this water from? You asking me for a drink. You have no water. Where is this water from that you're talking about? John 4:14. But whosoever drink of this water, it shall give him. I'm going to start all over. But whosoever drink of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water that will spring up into the everlasting life. And the woman saying to him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, and neither come hither to drown. Jesus saying to her, Go and call thy husband and come hither. And the woman answered and say, I have no husband. Jesus saying to her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he who now has is not thy husband. And that says thou true. To my understanding, once we walk into the waters of baptism, we have to confess ourselves. We have to be truthful to him. And what is that gift that he's talking about? What is that water that he's talking about? It's the Holy Spirit that will be in you, and it will flow like a river forever and ever. That is the gift of God. The woman saying to him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worship in this mountain, and Jesus said that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said to her, Woman, believe me, that the hour coming where you should neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship you knew not. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour coming and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seek such to worship him. Just like in Isaiah 5:6, seek the Lord while he has been found. And this gift of God will satisfy your spirit, because that's what is in ourselves. And that's, you know, when you are about to do something, you hear that small voice. Do you ignore it? Maybe. We make choices. We make choices for decisions. But if you have the knowledge that God is in you, you bring it to him, and you make that choice. Our life is full of choices. But if we have God in our lives, that choice will be make easy to choose. He will guide you. You know, it says that we're supposed to worship only in the mountain or in Israel or in Jerusalem. You can worship God anywhere. You can worship Him in your house, from work. You can worship Him from your fields, like in the Book of Mormon says, your secret places, in your closet. You can worship Him anywhere. But also He has told us to gather together and worship Him in spirit. Are we here in spirit today? I believe so, because we have a full house. I believe we do. Can we read Alma 16, please? Alma 16, chapter 16, 219. Ye humble yourselves and continue in prayer unto Him, crying unto Him when you are in your fields, yea, over all your flocks, crying to Him in your house, yea, over all your household, both morning, midday, evening, yea, crying to Him against the power of your enemies, yea, crying to Him against the devil, which is the enemy to all righteousness. Crying to Him over the crops of your fields, that you may prosper in them. Cry over the flocks of your fields, that they may increase. But this is not all. You must pour out your souls in your closets, in your secret places, and in your wilderness. Yea, and when you do not cry unto the Lord, crying to the Lord, let your hearts be full. Draw out in prayer unto Him continually for your welfare and also for the welfare of those that are around you. You are free to worship Him anywhere as long as you keep Him with you. Brother Aaron read his last sermon last Sunday. What happened to the brother Jerry? For four long years he didn't think about coming to the Lord, and the Lord chastised him. I don't know if I'm saying it right, but He, told him, "Why you not haven't come to Me?" It's because he was too busy doing something else. That happened to all of us. But He will remind us. He will remind us how. He might give you a cold or something. And that's when we remember there is a God up there, when we are sick, when we are in trouble. Let's look at an example in John 9:35-37. John 9:35-37. Let's see. This is about this father who had a son that was possessed by a demon, but he did not know God. He didn't believe in Him. And His disciples didn't have enough faith either to do that specific healing. They didn't have enough faith. They were walking with him, seeing him doing all these miracles, and still did not have enough faith. And that's why Christ says, blessed are those who believe in me without see. In 34, we're going to start in 34. They answered and said to him, thou wast altogether born in sin, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. I'm sorry, that was the blind man. I'm in the wrong chapter. But you know what? I wanted to read that too. This guy was blind for a long time from he was born, and Christ healed him. My point here is that we believe that he can heal you this day, that he can heal you for whatever you're going through. Christ healed him that day, and because it was a Saturday, it was a Sabbath, they were not supposed to do anything, he got kicked out of the synagogue for that reason. But we work every day. That's what Christ answered them. The day has 12 hours, and he will do anything. We will do anything to proclaim his name. They answered and said to him, 34, I'm sorry, yet again. Was altogether born in sins, and this thou teach us, and they cast him out. And Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said to him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? And he answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe in him? And Jesus said to him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talking with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. He worshiped him right there where he was. So you don't need to be in the church to worship him. As you're going through your problems of daily life, you can worship him. You can come to him and ask him for guidance. That is my point. You know, it's always the right reason. There's always the right plan, the right part. The God does not waste, and we should be the same. We had the opportunity to witness him. We should take that opportunity, because you might change that person's life that day. They might hear the specific word that it will change his life. So by Christ going to Samaria, was that just a coincidence? I read a little bit about the woman of Samaria that usually they don't go to the well alone. They always go together. And they don't go around noon. It's way in the afternoon. But for some reason, that woman went to the well at that time. And I believe that's not a coincidence, because right there she found salvation. When you make a difference in somebody's life, that's not a coincidence. That's how God wants it. And that's why I said, he is in control. He is in control of our lives. Let's go to John 11:20. In 11:20, all the way to 27, we find out here one really important point. And I just mentioned it, that we remember Christ when we are in trouble. We remember God. But to God, it's a special moment for that. Because sometimes sickness brings us close to Him. I can tell you that when I was in the hospital, He was in my mind 24 hours. Every time that my brothers and sisters would come and visit me, I didn't waste any time. I would have them administer me. Sometimes I was administered up to 4 times a day, but I never waste that. I take the opportunity. But sometimes those things happen to glorify God. This is about Lazarus, who was supposed to, who was not supposed to, but who was the best friend of Jesus. He knew him very well somehow. And he got 2 sisters too. And 11:20 says, Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saying to her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saying to him, I know. Because in her human ways, she knew that at the last day we all gonna rise. That is our main goal, where we going. That by a blink of an eye will be changed or will be rise again. That is the promises that we have. By following Christ, by being, turning ourselves to Christ, those are the promises that we have. And those are the promises that the world does not know. So that's why I said, when you have the opportunity, please share it. I have many times. She said, I know. I know that he shall rise again and the resurrection in the last day. She said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believe in me thought he were dead, yet shall he live. When you bury yourself in the waters of baptism, you baptize in his death. And you arise as a new person. It's a new beginning. How cool is that? We have a new opportunity to begin again. What has been done is in the past. You don't look back. You go forward. And whosoever liveth and believe in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yeah, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God. How did she know that he was the Christ, the Son of God? Only through the Spirit can confess that, can speak for that. Peter said the same thing in Matthew 16:16. He is the Christ. He is the Son of God. And Jesus told Peter, you didn't say that because you. It was revealed by the Father. She said to him, yeah, Lord, I believe. I believe. The Father with the Son and the demon, he said, help me, my unbelief. And that's what we're here for, to help people to believe in God. because that's all we have. Who are you going to lean on to? To men? No. Only God can save you. My last scripture, I guess, will be in First Corinthians, chapter 16, 8 to 11. It's not making any sense. I think I read down the wrong book here. Might be 1 Corinthians. Yeah, I think I wrote the wrong scripture here. But I'm going to read it anyway. You might find it in your books. Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people, sing unto him, sing psalms in him, talk ye of all his wondrous works, glory ye in his holy name, and let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face continually. And that is my sermon today, brothers and sisters, that we need to seek him while he was found. Because we know that he will not leave us alone, and that's his promises. He is in control of your life and all those things that we run into. I hope and pray that this sermon was a blessing on you today. Thank you.